Hi, and welcome back to the Safety Storytellers Podcast. My name is Stacy, and I am your host. What are some of the best ways to design an OSHA-compliant safety incentive program? What I thought would be the best ways were certainly not what ended up being the best ways, according to Karen McClinney, owner of KMC Incentives, a performance improvement company. So Karen walks us through a two-step process. First, you have to design the right activities with the right metrics. And second, no, I'm not going to tell you. You just have to wait. I'm going to jump into this chat with Karen to find out. Okay, I've got Karen here, and you are doing a presentation tomorrow.
Yes, that's right.
So what is your presentation about?
It is how to design an OSHA-compliant safety incentive program.
Okay. So how does somebody even start that process?
Right. So, it's kind of a two-step thing, right? So first, what happens with safety incentive programs, you have to have the design. A program is designed with specific upstream safety activities that are your safety metrics. Some example of those are going to be like reporting near misses, completing observations, submitting safety suggestions, for example. But in your program design, you have to make sure you include OSHA policies too. OSHA, there's a misconception out there about OSHA does not like safety incentive programs.
I've heard that before. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But they actually think it's a very strong safety tool as long as it's designed and implemented to where the employees don't have injury hiding.
Okay.
Right.
Okay.
Right. And you also have to be able to design the program where employees will be willing to report an injury or illness if it occurs. And so there are a few key ways to do that. You know, you train them on your company's non-retaliation policy. You train them on your workplace safety rules and have consistent application with those rules. And you have mechanisms in place that will measure the employee's willingness to report. Yeah, so those are key elements to have in your program design.
So how does someone know the willingness to report? How is that documented?
Well, so, and it's documented because, so in your program design, when your employees, so basically how this works, when your employees are participating and engaged in your KPIs, you include those OSHA policies within your KPIs, you're going to recognize and reward them.
Okay.
So that's what encourages your employees to participate in your program, right? But once your design is set, you got to make sure that when you value those indicators, you want to make sure you value them, which encourages participation, but discourages injury hiding. For instance, when you're recognizing and rewarding in your program, you want to do it on an individual basis, but also a team. But you really want to place a little bit higher value on that individual performance, because if it's all team-based, you might get that peer pressure element going where they become loyal to their teammates and they don't want to report. So those is the design that actually helps prevent that. But also having a survey, an anonymous employee survey that asks them questions like, you know, do you have the tools to do your job? Do you have the training to do your job safely? Do you feel comfortable to report an injury or illness if it occurs? And the fact that it's done anonymously, you can gather a lot of information. So that's just one sample of another mechanism you can have in place. So it's kind of important to have them all working together.
What do you find is the best incentive? What do people like the most?
So people are going to say cash, but that's false.
Okay. So, if somebody asked me that, I would say money or time.
Yep. So there are different ways you can reward your employees. Some of them are cash-based, right?
Okay.
And especially if you have a rate-based program that you're initiating, bonuses are attached for going a period of time without an injury or an incident. And again, you got to be careful with your design because that could promote that injury hiding. People will say cash, but it's interesting. I don't know how many years ago, but Goodyear Tire did a study. And they were trying to figure out what to reward their employees, a cash reward or a non-cash, which is more merchandise-based.
Okay.
Cash reward or actually non-cash rewards outperformed the merchandise or the cash rewards by 40%.
Really? So yeah. Is it an actual physical item that people want?
So there's a psychology behind it, right?
Okay.
So when you get cash, where does that cash go? It's going to go to...
into thin air.
Exactly.
Right. Seriously. It spreads out in little things and you don't really know where it went.
Yeah.
At least my cash does that.
Well, yeah. Gas in the gas tank,
yes.
Electricity bill.
Yes.
When you have merchandise, and if it's the employee's choice, so meaning, let's say you have a catalog that they get to choose from, right?
Ooh, that's so fun. It's like a gift for your birthday.
Exactly.
It's like, even if it's a little something, so fun.
Well, and you said it right, because what happens is, well, two things. When they select an item that they would like, they have an emotional attachment to that item.
Yes.
And emotion
and
is a
power. And they chose it.
That's right. That's
they
right.
chose it.
It wasn't just something selected for them.
And when you get gas, that's almost like an inner, like a negative feeling.
Well, yeah.
You know, and it's like, ugh. But if you have a thing that you chose and you earned it.
You've earned it. That's the whole thing is performance based. They earned it.
Okay.
And so that emotional attachment, emotion is a huge motivator. Mm-hmm. So that encourages more participation. And the more your employees participate in these upstream safety activities, the stronger your culture, your safety culture is going to be because it becomes a lifestyle, right? It's not when they clock in and clock out. It becomes a lifestyle. And the award choice as well, when they, let's just say they want that fishing pole, right? Let's say that's going to be their reward. Wow, I haven't participated enough to earn that. What do I need to do to earn that? It drives them back to your program.
Okay.
So they set many goals, right?
Okay, yes.
So that's why the non-cash awards are more powerful and productive than cash awards. And then there's an IRS thing about issuing cashes where employees are taxed dollar for dollar after $25.
That seems like a nightmare.
It can be.
It can be.
And the employees pay those taxes. Sometimes organizations determine to pay that tax for the employee. But with merchandise-based programs, up to a certain amount, it is non-taxable to the employees when it comes to, like, safety programs. So it's just there's a lot of different reasons why that might benefit not only the employee, the participation, and the budget, you know.
Yes. So. Okay. So, I've got so many questions. Okay. So, if I were to say, yeah, this seems like something that would be really expensive and a hassle, you know, what do you say to them?
Yeah. So, questions do come up. How much does a safety incentive program cost? And it's a very wide range, but anywhere from like $100 up to $400 per person per year is kind of a range. And it's not just the program, it's the safety-related expenses. Okay. But some programs are less, some are more. It depends on, you know, how many indicators you're asking them to participate
in. And you can always show them where they're going to save with all of these, all this reporting.
Oh,
so it just makes sense.
Oh, millions. Workman's comp alone.
Absolutely.
<You know>?
Right? So, okay. If you were to put together the most perfect incentive program, mm-hmm. where would you start? If it was your own and you said, this is going to be the best one.
Well, so, and this is with each organization, right? Especially in the different industries. I would meet with like their safety team and leadership. Because leadership has got to have commitment, right? Because they're going to support the resources, you know, for the program to be successful. They're going to pull together the team who's qualified to determine what those key performance indicators are going to be. So I would start there. And as far as the indicators, when I'm putting together programs, some programs out there will have, there's four main indicators, and some programs will have one of those elements, one will have two, but you need all four for them to work together. And those elements are, you need your continuation training. That educational component is paramount. You've got to have your performance-based elements, and you have to have your behavior-based elements. We are talking safety, right? And then you pull those elements together, and you need to, what I mentioned earlier, you got to recognize on an individual and team basis. Because individual performance, you know, all that together is going to create your company safety culture. But that team element is really going to create that brother's keeper element, because now you're working as a team towards your safety goal and hitting those safety milestones. So that's where I would start.
Okay. Okay. So, gosh, I really like the idea of doing incentives. Everyone wants to be seen and recognized for their, and earn something, you know? And so, how have you seen this be a positive influence on an organization? Have you seen this really change in organizations, their safety program?
It does, because sometimes safety can be like another task, right? Mm-hmm. All right, we're already asked to do A, B, and C, and now we're asked to do D, E, and F. Mm-hmm. And when you start putting a dollar value on safety activities or the time it takes to complete that, it really just kind of stalls your safety efforts. But if you're going to recognize them for doing it, right? Because we're doing safety because we want everybody to go home safe at the end of the day, right?
Yes.
And no matter how much you try to communicate that with employees, some employees are going to get it and some aren't. And everybody is overworked these days. We're doing more tasks with fewer people. So when you recognize and reward them, there's added value. And you're not just giving them stuff. You're really recognizing them as a human being and their value and your commitment to them. It just amps up that perception.
Well, you know, it's important for people to love what they do, to enjoy being at work, and to feeling that they're valued. Mm-hmm. And so to put something into place where they feel valued and they're a part of something and they earn something, like, that's really...
That's it.
That gets them coming back, you know, and enjoying what they do.
That's right.
Yes.
And also, you know, a lot of... you know, when you're talking safety, there's just a lot of dangerous situations daily. Environmental, equipment, you know, also your teammates, because you have to watch out for each other's safety. And it really helps you create that family and that we care about each other. And that's what safety does. Because yes, there's a bottom line to safety. And safety can be very expensive if you don't have a program in place keeping your employees safe, right? But you focus on their value as a human being. And that's why people are in the safety field, because they care.
Thank you so much.
Yes.
It was so, so great meeting you. And good luck with your presentation.
Oh, my gosh. Yes. Prayers, please. Always. Thank you, Stacey.
You're welcome.
Thank you for joining us on the Safety Storytellers Podcast. This podcast is brought to you by Sospis, bringing you the best EHS software in the industry. If you are ready to learn more about how an EHS software can transform your safety program, your profits, and your entire company, head to www.sospes.com/podcast. That's www.sospes.com/podcast. We'll see you next time on the Safety Storytellers.